All right, so I get it. It's not technically post-game yet if you're watching us live. But this one's been over.
It's over.
This one's been over for a little bit now. It's been over for a little bit. So we're going to go ahead and call it.
It was over at 26-0, real tall.
Yeah, I think it was over at the half.
Well, that's true. However, we had to, you know.
Yeah, do our due diligence, right. And look, if we start this and obviously some other storyline unfolds in the final moments of the game, we will do our best. We still have it on in the background. Look, the Ravens kicked the Dolphins' ass.
Per usual.
Tonight. Yeah, as they've done a lot recently. There's so much that we're going to get to. The Project Game Day postgame show is brought to you by Par Excel. I'm Glenn Clark. She's the NFL chick, Sarita Hubbard. She has been real electric tonight.
So
she's been real electric.
Let me explain to you guys what's kind of going on right
now. Hey, what's
right
up, Glenn Eunice?
Today.
Shout
hey,
out
Glenn.
To you for hooking my wife and my buddy up with tickets to the game tonight. Thank you.
So I typically watch football with a group of friends who we're just, you know, we're very passionate. That's a nice way of saying it. So Glenn got the sample size of me of when I'm with my friends.
She was fire.
And I had every reason to be today.
Oh,
I mean,
correct. Look,
for, you know, for valid reason today, I had every reason to be fired up.
We had
today.
Most of the conversation about the hit at halftime.
But we have not elaborated the
You wanted to get to another point. Because there's a lot of things I want to talk about this game.
Fine.
But
let's
I want to give you the opportunity to talk about the other thing related to the hit that I know you wanted to talk about, which, again, we talked about the hit. We all saw it. It was disgusting. It was dirty. It was everything that you say it is. He probably should have been ejected. He's going to be suspended, Kiko Alonso, all over with. Like, we done the hit part.
Yeah.
But there was something about the hit that bothered you.
Yeah, it bothered me that the only people that came into the defense of their quarterback was Ryan Jensen and John Harbaugh. And if you want to add Austin Howard, who kind of, you know, stood up with his back, you know, with his back straight and,
right,
and walked over, fine. I'm not counting him, but if you want to, that's fine. At the end of the day, there's 11 guys out there, and I only seen one straight up guy do it and then one guy that's on the sidelines do it. I have a serious problem with that. You and I have both talked to former players, former Ravens.
We've been chatting with them tonight.
We've been chatting with them. Brian McKinney even tweeted, do you need me to come down there? Why is it that you see your quarterback take a hit like that and you just stand there? I got a real problem with you letting your teammate get hit like that and not defending him. I'm not saying that I want you to fight, but I do want you to defend your teammate when he has a vicious hit like that. To me, that says a lot about this team. It says a lot about the makeup of this team.
It's so funny that GY is watching us right now, because Glenn always has this phrase that he uses about the Ravens roster right now. He says they don't have enough dogs.
Okay, and he's right. Absolutely right.
And he always gives credit, because he says that's a term that John Thompson always used, and he knew John, and they worked together at 980 back in the day. Correct.
Yeah.
This is something about this roster that I think we've all pointed to with John Harbaugh and the alpha types that John Harbaugh has not necessarily
his issues with
wanted to have around.
Correct.
And after the Super Bowl, John Harbaugh kind of got a little bit of his way. Now, I want to make this very clear. A lot of people are trying to make it so that it's just a John Harbaugh thing. That, like, John Harbaugh got carte blanche to decide to get rid of Anquan Boldin, decide to get rid of Bernard Pollard, and decide to get rid of insert player name here that were particularly alpha types in the Ravens locker room.
Yep.
It is not that black and white.
No.
It is not that John Harbaugh got to walk in and say, we're getting rid of Boldin. He's too much of an issue for me in the locker room. He tries to take over. By the way, Anquan Boldin is one of the most respected individuals in the history of the game.
Absolutely.
Of football. And let's make that very clear. I actually don't, while I do believe that John Harbaugh had troubles with Anquan Boldin sometimes, because Anquan would not care. Anquan would walk in at the half and not give a rat's ass what anyone else had to say. I mean, would not care. Anquan didn't care if it was Ray Lewis.
Okay,
that
there's
had
a cat on the
I
field. I'm
that.
Sorry. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm distracted
right
by the feline
not
on be. The field. What the hell is going
Anquan
on?
Anquan Boldin would walk in at the half, and I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Ray Lewis. I don't care if you're Ed Reed. I don't care if you're Joe Flacco. I don't care if you're John Harbaugh. I don't care if you're the Pope. I have something to say, and what's going to happen now is you're going to listen to me.
Yep.
And this is how this is going to go, because I am going to light a fire under your ass. And there's this amazing thing where some guys do that type of stuff, and guys roll their eyes at them, and guys say, all right, Chief, like, let's settle down a little bit. This is just football. But for some reason, that was never the case with Anquan.
Correct.
With Anquan, for whatever reason, guys listened.
Yeah.
And guys walked out of that with their eyes lit up saying, all right, let's go, right? Let's go. That has been a criticism of John Harbaugh, and what has happened in the post-Super Bowl era with the Baltimore Ravens has been the lack of guys that are, again, dogs, that are dogs.
Who are real leaders on this team that you can think of right now? And listen, I understand that they have an enormous amount of players on injured reserve
they
right
do.
Now.
And we were both referenced in that situation. If Marshall Yanda had been
Marshall
on the field
Yanda's
tonight,
getting put out.
Marshall Yanda is absolutely going to eat Kiko Alonso's
absolutely.
Heart.
He's
I mean,
going
he's
to
going
make him
to,
pay.
Correct.
So,
and Ryan Jensen has taken on, while he's not a leader, he has taken on this role of being the tough guy, being the fighter.
Yes,
being
he's the fighter. He's the fighter on
everybody's
the
wilding out about the cat, by the way. Like, we've almost Yo, like, we've lost the conversation.
I'm sorry.
The
cat just threw me off. But
everybody's wilding out.
But the thing is that, come on, come back, y'all. The cat is gone. Come back. All right. So the thing about that is that you don't have personalities like you did post Super Bowl era. Anquan was the quiet personality that was dominant. He didn't have to do much, like you said, but when he did it,
well,
it was
when
a.
He, when
but
he,
when he did do it, it was enough.
It was
enough. You had the boisterous ones, Ray Lewis. You
right.
had Ed Reed, who showed what he could do on the field. You had, you know, another boisterous Bernard Powell. Suggs is the one. Okay, that's the one that we know because he's been here, obviously, his entire career.
But Suggs has also always been a little
He's a
goofy.
Jokester. He's the jokester. But unfortunately, he's pushed into this leadership role because he is the veteran of
right.
his team.
Right.
Yanda, I would probably say, would be another guy, but he's on injured reserve. Who would you say, fans, right now, that you consider to be a leader of this team might that is not the quarterback.
And why we're bringing this up again, if you're just joining us because the game just did go final, it's 40-0. The Ravens improved to 4-4 on the season. Why we're bringing this up is, again, in that moment, there have been a lot of players, former players, players on other teams, who have commented either to us in exchanges that we've had or just on Twitter about, yo, really? Like, what? Dude, if that happened to my guy.
That's right.
Or if I was on the field
That's
right then.
Yo,
that would not have been okay. There would have been real issues with that dude. This would have been something different. And I want to be very clear. I'm not trying to suggest in any world that somebody should have gone over and what? And, you know, kick the dude in the balls. I don't know what the appropriate response is. But I do think there is something to be said about what you're talking about, what these players are talking about, which is it was a little weird, and some people might look at it and say, well, that's because they don't respect Flacco enough, right?
No, I don't think that's it. I don't think that's it.
Because those other dudes that we're talking about, Marshall Yanda, again, if it had been Anquan Boldin, if Anquan Boldin or Steve Smith had been on that field, yo, somebody.
It's going down.
Right, correct. So I do think there's something relevant to say about that.
This team is soft. I mean, I'm just going to put it out there, and if you want to challenge me on that, I'm fine. But you got to give me some examples. This team is soft. They're soft in the way that they play on the field. They're soft in how they handle things. That's not on the well. In this case, it is on the field, but it's
right.
not related to the specific play more so than the hit itself. We don't know Flacco to be someone that the teammates hate. So I don't
There's
understand.
Never been any inclination
exactly.
of that.
Exactly. So there's no reason for you to stand there and not do. We saw Jeremy Maclin kind of talking
right.
to Kiko Alonso afterwards. If Jeremy Maclin isn't using expletives to him, he ain't saying a damn thing. And it really didn't. Based on his body language, he wasn't saying much to him. But at that point, what are you doing at that point? It didn't look like you were defending your guy. Maybe you were pleading your case, like, hey, why you do that? But come on, man. That is your quarterback.
I mean, that's the guy. That's your season.
Your season is
sitting right there. Your season.
Absolutely.
If that's a serious injury, your season's over.
Yep.
Just forget it. And now a lot of people might say, anyway, well, look, you're not going to do much this season even with Flacco.
Wait a minute now.
That's fine. You have a chance.
Right.
If that dude's out, you have no chance.
So, I mean, I told you I was going to curse, and I'm going to do it now, okay, because this is where it goes.
I hear you.
Do you want the shitty quarterback, because that's what y'all want to call Flacco, or do you want the shittier quarterback in Ryan Mallett? He might be shitty. Flacco might have times where you're like, okay, but that's my shitty quarterback, okay? I want Flacco every week every day, five times on Sunday, over Ryan Mallett. Okay, so you got a choice. You got shitty or shittier.
I needed you tonight. So, yes. I needed you tonight.
Look, Rita, I was going to use my pass today because it was that. Definitely
oh,
needed.
Oh man, I needed that. Yeah.
You got to take what you get. We seen Ryan Mallett. He had the nice little drive. He had the touchdown. Then after that,
but the touchdown was just he got the ball at the 5 yard line. Yeah. I mean that was
and then and then after that he went back. Yes, I know that they clock managed. For the most part.
And that was what they were going to do with Flacco in the game anyway.
Correct. But then when they asked him to throw,
the one ball down the sideline to Perriman should have been caught.
Well, yes.
Yeah, it wasn't a great ball, but it should have been caught. And it's the same way. I'd say the same thing for Ryan Mallett that I say about Joe Flacco. I'm not going to say something about Joe Flacco that I wouldn't say for Ryan Mallett. Joe Flacco, 2 weeks or whatever the week was when Perriman was open, should have thrown a better ball to him. But when that ball's there, Perriman's got to catch
it.
And it's the same thing with Ryan Mallett down the sideline there. Could he have thrown a better ball? Should he have put that out more for Perriman to have an opportunity? Absolutely. But that ball ends up hitting Breshad Perriman in the hands.
Yep.
There's no excuses anymore. Breshad Perriman's garbage. He's garbage.
Not good.
He's terrible.
He's not good.
That ball has to be caught. So I'll give him the same thing. Now, on third down, a play later, Ryan Mallett threw a ball that Joe Flacco has never thrown in his life.
No,
that ball was...
The one thing that we can talk about, because remember, you and I were watching this, and all I heard was quarterback controversy, and I looked at you and was like, who the hell are they talking about?
They're talking about Miami, right?
And he clarified that they were talking about Miami because clearly we're not talking about a quarterback controversy here.
Right.
There's no
right.
quarterback
there
controversy.
None.
One
zero.
Guy belongs on the bench.
Correct. Very clearly. Let me get to a couple of things that have come in here. Appreciate those of you that are up with us tonight. From Mick, Jensen is the only dog on the team. Eric, Goodwin Ravens. Glenn Eunice, this is quite the thought. He says, something to think about. Maybe guys don't feel like they even can develop the dog in them on this team. Think about that. He's talking about, and this is something Glenn and I have talked a lot about, that the way that it's structured within the organization and with John Harbaugh as your head coach, right? Like you've had young players come along that look around and look at what's there and look that they might just say, look, maybe I want to be that type of guy, but I think if I am, I might get benched. I might get, I might be in the doghouse as we've dealt with John Harbaugh, things along those lines. No pun intended, by the way, the doghouse thing. But it is an interesting thought.
Yes, it is. No, it's
is
very
an interesting,
interesting
thought, and it's a fair thought to have and something we should discuss.
This is... And ironically, we had this discussion on the Fantasy and Reality show on Sunday where we talked about Harbaugh we don't believe that Harbaugh likes to be challenged. So we're talking about the players right now.
Yeah.
Ironically, in the instance that we were speaking about on Sunday, it was regarding his staff. So we believe that Harbaugh likes guys like a Mark Trestman, like a Marty Morningwig,
right.
that nobody's going to really want them when they – nobody's asking them to be a head coach,
right,
okay?
Right,
they are where they are.
And they're not coming
point.
In and they're not mixing things up.
Correct.
They're not stirring the pot.
Correct. They're not stirring
the
pot. And we believe that he likes the guys that are not going to challenge him, which I do have a problem with because the ones that are going to challenge you typically make your team stronger. So if that's the case, if you and Glenn make that point and it's true –
And again,
it's the makeup of the team right now.
It's just a discussion point. I can't say with any certainty.
I'm not confirming that that's what's happening, but I'm saying that that does have some merit.
Well, I'll compare
it.
What you're bringing up, you can compare to what's happened in Philadelphia, where there was a thought that Jim Schwartz was like openly trying to become the head coach, right? Like there was that.
Can't you see that though?
Oh, of course. With Jim Schwartz, y'all know Jim Schwartz.
Yes.
There's no doubt in his mind that he thought to himself, maybe Peterson's going to fall flat on his face, and this defense will look good, and I can be the white knight halfway through the season to step in and become the head coach. Now, I don't know what he was doing that or not. It, again, as both of us say, knowing what we know about Jim Schwartz was my best friend one day and then literally wanted to fight me the next. These are from Arbutus. What do you expect, right? Like, that's who he is. I mean, that's who that dude is.
Yeah.
And I'm good with Jim Schwartz. I got no issues with Jim Schwartz at all. I actually really like Jim Schwartz, despite the fact that, like, one day he came on my show and literally afterwards sent me a really nasty text message about something very innocuous that was said during the conversation. Like, super innocuous.
Did he ask you to meet him outside?
No, he was ready to go. I mean, he was ready to go. But that's Jim Schwartz, right? And yet the Eagles say, okay. And Doug Peterson says, okay, I'll take that on.
Yep.
I'll take that on because I think it's going to make my team better.
But that's what I'm saying. When you are challenged like that, it makes your team better. Look at Philadelphia right now. You have a strong personality in a guy like Jim Schwartz in Philadelphia who has had head coaching experience, who believes that he can be a head coach again,
right.
Challenging the head coach. Now, I'm not saying that I agree that should happen, but you got to think that Doug Peterson knows that this man is on his is breathing down his neck, and he has to do something to make sure that his team stays ahead and that they don't consider someone else to run
it's
the team.
It's working out right now.
So you do have to wonder if Harbaugh is saying, I don't want those types of guys because I don't want you to think that you can have my job.
Right. I hear you. I hear you. All right. Let me get through some more of these. Nathan, can we call Anthony Wright?
Oh, my God.
So Tony Romo was talking.
2003? Yeah, right.
Look, Anthony Wright was a serviceable player for a minute in Baltimore. He led the greatest comeback in Ravens history against
the Seahawks.
A game that never should have happened. Remember, because there was the clock malfunction in the fourth quarter. They screwed that up and they stopped the clock when they shouldn't have, and so it never should have happened. But whatever, it happened.
It was a great game.
It was a legendary game. There was talk from Tony Romo in the fourth quarter about Joe Flacco purposefully sitting out next week against Tennessee. He said, look, between this and the back, you have an opportunity to get essentially 3 weeks worth of rest.
Yeah, because the bye week follows.
So you have 10 days between now and the Titans game. You'd have another 7 days after that during the bye, and then another 7 days before another football game. So you're talking about 24 days. His argument was, just take it. Don't even try to play next Sunday. Now, Tony Romo knows a thing or two about injuries. Let's make that very clear. Tony Romo knows a lot about injuries. And so I'm not discrediting Tony Romo in any way, because he might literally say, hey, look, man, there's times we're looking back on it, I probably should have done the same thing. It probably would have been better for me long term when I did that. I can't fathom a world, given the fact this is the Titans, this is a brutally difficult game for the Ravens to win, no matter what, on the road next week. I can't fathom a world where Joe Flacco is capable of being on the field where he's not on the field next Sunday.
I agree.
He's got to be capable of being on the
field. Correct. He has to be cleared.
And there's, dude, when you see that dude having blood come out of his ears, I don't know that he's going to be able to be cleared to be on the field next Sunday. But if he is, I just don't know that I believe that he wouldn't be.
I'd bet money that if he was available, that he would play. I just don't see a scenario of him saying, you know, I think I'm going to go ahead and sit this out and just get this almost month off.
Right.
The Ravens now at 4-4 still believe that they're in some type of playoff hunt. I believe they are.
I mean,
given the way that the NFL is, they absolutely are. Every game to them counts, and if their quarterback is able to play, they're not going to find ways to lose.
No question.
They believe that the best guy on the field to have them win games is number 5, and if they think that he's available to do so, that's going to happen.
Correct.
So I don't think that happens.
Right, but if they look at him and say, dude, you know, that's what it is, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And they have, I presume that if in that situation they would just promote Josh Woodrum from the practice squad to be the emergency backup guy. I don't think they would go sign somebody in that situation.
No.
Our buddy Bonsa says, did anybody predict this? LOL. No, nobody predicted 40-0. I know that much. I predicted a Ravens win. Well, I will give them that.
I predicted a Ravens win,
but I did predict the Dolphins would cover. I thought it would be a 3-point game. Yeah. And they did not come close. From Bill, can you imagine if Steve Smith was on the field when Flacco got hurt?
I can actually. He would have been ejected, I'm sure.
What was his famous line? Blood and guts?
I mean,
it would have been blood and guts. It would have been the entire thing.
Somebody would have been icing up, but it wouldn't have been him.
No question. From Paul, people like to joke that Travis Taylor and Mark Clayton were first round wide receiver busts. They're both Ring of Honor worthy compared to Breshad Perriman.
That says a lot.
Clayton had to play with Bowler for multiple years. Perriman looks like he doesn't want to be out there. I don't know if a new offensive coordinator could salvage something out of him. It is alarming. I mean, it's alarming how, and I get it, like he's been banged up and
maybe it's a confidence issue. It is really.
And this is why when I heard people talking, like I was listening actually to the radio broadcast on my way in tonight, and they were talking about, well, they're getting Jeremy Maclin and Breshad Perriman back.
I only cared about the one, right?
I was like, yo, they're getting Jeremy Maclin back.
Right.
Getting Breshad Perriman back is about as helpful as saying, well, they've got Chris Moore on the field tonight.
Basically.
I mean, it's bad. It really is. And it's almost the point where it's hard to even joke about it now because it's just real. You're accepting the reality of what has occurred here, and it is sad. It's, you know, you can't justify him being on the field. I get it. You don't have better options, and that's a huge part of the problem.
That's the issue.
You don't have better options, but you're starting to get into the territory of you might just have to throw anybody else out there.
The Ravens, as a franchise, obviously, if you're a fan, you do know how inept they have been in getting wide receivers. They have actually made a business of getting guys that were, you know, in the latter part of their primes,
right,
even though they were still productive. So to see them continuously miss the ball when it comes to wide receiver, I mean, we can keep
going.
Well,
they going. Do it so rarely, but to miss
when they do. Hey, Clarence Moore, Demetrius Williams. I mean, can go on and on
picks.
About those
they
guys.
They so rarely
they
use
were
an
later,
early pick.
Yes, they were later picks. But guess what? They picked – there's guys that they've picked – and other guys have come later,
and
they've been productive.
No
Brandon
question,
Marshall
right.
I believe Demetrius Williams was picked before Brandon Marshall.
Yeah,
Brandon Marshall has made a career.
Famously, they had multiple opportunities to pick Antonio Brown and didn't.
Absolutely.
There's boatloads of those guys.
Yes.
I hear you.
So it is very hard. It's very depressing to see a franchise who has longed for a number one receiver, never really had one of their own, still not be able to kind of nail one in and get the guy that they want.
It's tough. Look, again, this sounds – everything we just done, it's goofy because this is a 40-0 win tonight, right?
Yes.
It's a 40-0 win.
But it's the realism of the fact that this is a team that is still reeling with injuries. Half the team was still on the injury report
Correct. This
week.
Well, it's going to lead me into the question that I want to talk about. I need the 30 seconds to tell everybody about ParXL. I'm going to do that right now. But when we come back in, I want to talk for the rest of the show about – I'm going to ask a very similar question to what we talked about at the beginning of the year.
Okay.
My question's going to be, what do we make of this? What do we make of them winning 40-0 over the Dolphins tonight? was it a sign that things are starting to turn for the Ravens? Look, they ran the ball really well. They stopped the run, which we were terrified of with the Jay Ajayi being on the field tonight. They stopped the run. They got sacks. They got turnovers again. The defense scored points. When they were trying offensively, they were doing well. They stopped trying after a little bit. But for the most part, everything clicked. Is this a sign of things turning, or is this just, it's a Thursday night, goofy things happen on Thursday night, particularly for road teams? Which of those two things is closer to the truth? I want to talk about that when we come back in. 30 seconds, I'm going to tell you about ParXL, and then we're going to dive into that on the Project Game Day postgame show after the Ravens win 40-0.
The ParXL Early Phase Unit at Harbor Hospital is looking for healthy males and females ages 18 to 85 to volunteer for a clinical research study. Length of participation and number of visits vary by study. If you qualify, you may receive compensation ranging from $1,200 to $8,500 upon completion. For more information, please visit our website or call 1-877-617-8839. Call now.
All right, Rita. So this is my question. Thursday night, a lot of weird things tend to happen, especially for road teams. Miami never had a practice all week. Really, neither team had a full practice all week. They just did walkthroughs for 3 days leading into this game. Miami had a big emotional game this past Sunday against the Jets. You saw Jarvis Landry very emotional in his interview after the game about everything that the team had been through during the course of the year. Is this just a goofy night where goofy things occurred? The same way that when you and I sat here after the Ravens-Jaguars game, we said, look, we don't really think the Jaguars are 37 points better than the Ravens. We think there were some goofy scenarios with a trip to London and a team that had never done it before and playing at 9:30 in the morning and those types of things that played a role into what happened tonight. Is it more that, or is this a sign that for everything they've been through, the Ravens are still a pretty good football team? They still have good playmakers on the defensive side of the ball. We saw Jimmy Smith and C.J. Mosley both get touchdowns in the second half. That they could be turning a corner and righting the ship now that we've reached the halfway point of the season?
No.
Okay. I did a hell of a job of building all that up for you to give me a one-word answer back.
No. The answer is no. They are not a good football team. Do they have playmakers? Yes, they do. They obviously, Alex Collins is emerging into a guy that is being very productive. You see, you know, I don't know if Brandon Williams makes the difference this week, but they stopped Jay Ajayi. I'm going to go ahead and just put it on Brandon.
I just saw that Casey Willett is watching right now. I want to say hello to Casey Willett because I like Mighty Casey. Mighty Casey checked in.
Good
love
evening.
That dude. Good dude.
And you have, obviously, Jimmy Smith playing very well. they have playmakers, but they're not. They're still not a good football team. A lot of it has to do with injuries. Some of it has to do with coaching. I just think this is a goofy night. I think that the Ravens know how to beat the Dolphins.
It is really a very weird thing how dominant they have been Dolphins.
What was it, 71-6 or something? Over the last two years. The Ravens, I believe, won their last 9 primetime games at home. So that was another thing that worked in their favor. I just think this is a goofy game for them. I don't put on a lot of stock for a team that has as many. Literally last week, we watched Michael Campanaro, Chris Moore, and then some guy off the street be the 3 wide receivers.
Right.
So
right.
I am not in the business. We literally talked about Breshad Perriman not being the first-round draft pick that we thought that he could be. So that leaves you down to 2 wide receivers in Mike Wallace and Jeremy Maclin, and Mike Wallace didn't even play today. So I think that this team has issues, but I think that they have things that do work into their favor. The Miami game obviously works into their favor because they just have the cards against Miami.
Yeah,
they know how to beat Miami. I'm just not ready to invest in the Ravens being a good team simply because just some wacky
game,
night happened and they dominated a team that they've been known to dominate for quite a while.
And look, I very much tend to agree with you. And I do think that this makes next Sunday a really big day because the Titans have not played particularly well of late.
Yes.
Marcus Mariota has not looked right.
He's been dealing with the injury issues.
He's not looked right. And again, they're not a team that likes to throw the ball a lot to begin with. And then he hasn't looked right on top of that. I think that's a really big – if you go down to Nashville and win next Sunday, it really doesn't matter what you think of this team. This thing's in this thing. This team is in for a playoff race in the second half of the year. Right, whatever you think of them, that's what they're in for. I think if they go back down there next Sunday and it looks like it did in Minnesota last week, it's the cleat of reality. It's the, oh, right, yeah, we got way too worked up over one win just because it was a 40-point win. I think next Sunday's a big day for this football team. I don't know that I ever thought they were as bad as they looked at their lowest moments. Again, I don't think they were ever as bad as 44-7. I never thought they were that bad.
Well, we've seen the Ravens in the past lose big in games like that and then rebound.
Right, bounce back.
Now, obviously,
they didn't quite do the same thing as
no,
they turned around.
No, they lost
right.
4 of their last 5. Prior to tonight, they lost 4 of their last 5. But we've seen the Ravens bounce back in games after they've been dominated. So I completely get what you're saying. Obviously, playing Tennessee next week, they love to run the ball. They're not really good at passing right now. They're struggling in that regard. But obviously, they love to run the ball. If the Ravens can find a way to force Mariota to throw, it could be a good game for them. But after that, if they go 5-4, are you still having a glimpse of hope that they're okay going down the stretch?
I still have a litany of questions about this football team. But you are who you are at a certain point in the season, right? Like, if you're 5-4 and you just went and won in Nashville, you're in the mix.
Yes.
You have a chance. It's a league that is not very good. We've all talked about that.
Yes.
It's a league. Look, the Patriots seem to have righted themselves. The Steelers seem to have righted themselves. You know, the Chiefs have lost a couple of games, right? They got a pretty important one on Monday night against Denver, although there's no reason to think right now that Denver is capable of doing anything. I don't know what happened to them. They are
Trevor
God
Siemian
awful.
Happened.
Well, I mean, you remember one morning that he was Trevor Siemian. They are terrible. But you have a few teams right now that look pretty good. Outside of that,
it's an open race for everybody.
Lord knows.
So,
you know what I mean?
So
like, I think better of the Jaguars and of the Texans and teams like that. And I still think the Raiders ultimately, once they've got Derek Carr, you know, healthy again, are gonna be a real threat in the AFC. But let's not pretend like there are so many good teams that there aren't potentially playoff spots to be had.
Correct.
And so if you go win in Nashville next week against a team that you might directly be competing with for a playoff spot at some point, then the truth is, again, whatever you think of the football team and whatever the truths are, they're in it. They're in the race for the second half of the season, and they get a bye, an opportunity to get healthier. Danny Woodhead is still lingering as a guy that can come back.
His name has been coming up recently, so I'm going to guess that they think that he's closer to coming back.
Right, he was out watching practice this week.
Yep.
Maurice Kennedy is a guy they thought the world of as a cornerback that could still come back in the second half of the season. Again, now I'm not trying to oversell that, and really the secondary has not been their problem.
At all.
I don't know how much that helps you, but you're getting healthier at that point, and I know that there can still be some more injuries. And this is also a huge if.
Yes.
I still don't know that I feel good about them going down to Nashville next week and getting a win. What we're talking about is just the reality of the situation. Real quick, from our buddy Casey Willett, Tony Romo was doing all he could to not bury the Dolphins. you and I, by the way, are on board with Tony Romo.
I love Tony Romo.
I can't believe this secondary group of people that has gone to the actually Tony Romo is bad route. Because this is what happens. When everybody's enjoying something in the country,
somebody has to be on the other side.
Dude, if you don't like Tony Romo and how much fun he's having watching football and calling football games, I got nothing for you.
He is excited when C.J. Mosley scored.
Oh, he called it right for 40 yards out, and then it was like an inch away from being wrong.
He was about an inch from being wrong, but literally he was like four steps in, and Tony Romo was like, "He's going to score!" And you could hear the excitement in his voice.
I think he was ready for this to be brutally unwatchable.
Absolutely.
And look, the Dolphins are terrible. This was not an exciting football game.
So it could have been a play within itself, right? But in a game like this that is very hard to commentate because it's not watchable,
right?
For him to still be excited about a play like that says a lot about
Tony Romo.
Is awesome. And I was hard on this move because you got a lot of experienced guys that he literally skipped the line for.
Yes, correct.
But CBS got it right. He was well worth it.
And in a year where the league has been tough to watch, it has not been a good year for the league, I think Tony Romo is helpful because I think a casual fan can embrace the joy that he is showing in calling football games.
Yes.
I think he is very good for the NFL right now in this role.
I agree.
Plus, I think there are a lot of casual fans who know who Tony Romo is.
Absolutely.
So I think that helps a great deal as well. Oh, this was the guy, Jessica Simpson, right? You know, like
Cowboys, obviously,
right,
America's
the whole
team.
Deal,
so
the whole
deal.
John from Little Rock, once I am happy after a Ravens game, Alex Collins was really impressive. There's no doubt Alex Collins was great. A lot of people pointed this out on Twitter. Nick Boyle deserves a hell of a shout-out tonight, not just for being a pass-catching option, but as a blocker.
Yep.
Nick Boyle, who we've known to be a good blocker and who we criticize as catcher, but this is the Ed Dixon story that we talk about a long time. Ed Dixon was a brilliant blocking tight end when he was in Baltimore. People forget he was the starting tight end in the Super Bowl.
Correct.
Because the Ravens were all in on Ed Dixon as a blocker. Yes, Ed Dixon was limited as a pass catcher. He never became the pass catcher that his size and his speed would have made you hope that he could have become to be a really downfield threat. But as a blocker, he was a 10.
Yes.
And the Ravens loved him as a blocker. And he was vital in the things they accomplished with Ray Rice in those years. They were all in on Ed Dixon. Nick Boyle is showing signs of being that type of blocker. And when you have an offensive line that has miserably struggled the way that it has, Nick Boyle has played a huge role for this team in getting out and laying blocks and being willing to take that on. And the fact that they can trust him not to do too much. They're not throwing the ball downfield to him, but they're not throwing the ball downfield to anybody.
Minus Macklin.
A couple of times.
But that hurdle that Boyle had was awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
That was very fun.
I thought Boyle was really good tonight, especially as a blocker.
He was very good.
Paul, from now that the Ravens are back to 500, they can pull the trigger on that trade for Anquan Boldin before the deadline next Tuesday. Yo, I would at least call Anquan and say, look, if we offer the Bills a 7th-round pick, would you be willing? I get it. He's not solving anything, but I'd still take him on this team.
I'd absolutely take him.
He's not
solving. Right now.
He is not changing who you are as an offense.
I'd take him right now.
37-year-old Anquan Boldin is not making you dynamic. But you trust that he's going to catch the damn ball.
And I trust that week to week he'll probably be available.
Correct. So, I would absolutely. This is not even a joke.
Call him right now.
You have to know that he'd be willing to play, right? Like, you have to call him and say, look, dude, would you be willing to come play if we trade for you?
Well, he's already said that he wants to come back.
There was a lot of talk about him wanting to play for the Patriots.
No, literally, an article came out today that he wants to come back and that the Bills have granted him to get to
your request. Who is the question?
They're allowing him to choose whoever he wants to go.
I would 1,000% call him.
I'd love it. I'd
1,000% say, Anquan, now I just don't know, again, they unceremoniously dumped Anquan Boldin once upon a time. He had a lot of positive memories here.
Yeah.
And the fans love him. He's beloved in Baltimore.
He knows that
it's loved here. I think, a question between can I go back to a place where they said.
Where they traded me from some
for
pop
nothing,
rocks.
For nothing.
And some
right.
socks.
Where
okay.
they just said, see your way out.
Yeah.
I think that's still a difficult thing that I don't know if he would want to do. But look, I would absolutely make the call and find out. And
yep.
I would be willing to see if the Bills
sure would
say. Hey, look, here's a 7th-round pick. You know, I don't know how many conditional picks the Ravens have left because they've traded them all for terrible offensive linemen this year. Although maybe they get theirs back because Bergstrom didn't really play. I don't know. I don't know how the whole thing works, but that's what it is. All right, we are not going to go too far into overtime because it is a late night, and Rita's got to be up in about 4 hours.
Y'all know I'm
so
washed.
So we're going to let her get out of here. Rita, it's at the NFL Chick, of course, on Twitter, is where people can follow you. And then Sunday morning?
Yes, 10 to 12.
You guys get to react to a Ravens game this week.
Correct.
Instead of preview a
we'll
Ravens
game. We'll get to talk
game.
About how right we were about, you know, because all of us picked the Ravens to beat the Dolphins, so.
Did Ottenheimer pick the Ravens?
We all picked the Ravens.
I thought he was kind of like killing me this morning for.
He probably was just getting on you, but he definitely on Sunday we unanimously picked the Ravens.
Okay, I thought this morning when I told him I had picked the Ravens, he was really on me about it. I'm like,
we picked.
Now
the Ravens.
I feel again stupid because I'm not going to get my point against the spread
nope.
because I picked the Dolphins to cover. But I absolutely said this morning, I said 2017, the Ravens win. Was not close.
You got the winner.
I got the winner, right? I got
just
the winner. That's Sunday morning, 10 to noon,
yes.
for the Fantasy and Reality Football Show with Rita, as well as Ken Zales and Kyle Ottenheimer. Pressboxonline.com/radio. That's where I'll be tomorrow morning, 10 to noon, for Glenn Clark Radio. We might reach out to a few of these former Ravens.
That would be fun.
That were chiming in after the Flacco hit.
I'd love to hear McKinney physically say, what he'd do if he were there?
I mean,
because his tweet was fired up.
Bernard's my boy. Bernard Pollard.
Well, we know he's colorful.
And he and I were having fun on Twitter tonight, too. And that's my dude. We're going to reach out to Bernard because he's always been good to us. And just get his thoughts on what unfolded.
I think we know what he would have done.
I said on Twitter there wouldn't have been enough body bags in this city.
Yeah.
Had Bernard Pollard been on the field. All right, appreciate y'all hanging out with us. Really appreciate Par Excel for making it happen. Rita is out next Sunday. My buddy Eric Arditi, RDT from Barstool Sports, will be in with me for Ravens Titans. He's actually a Titans fan.
Why?
I don't know. I don't have that answer for you.
Done a damn thing.
Right? I don't know what that's all about, but we'll talk about it. We'll talk about that with him and get to the bottom of it. I thought it'd be fun to have him in here for next week.
Well, it's
that.
Perfect.
Yeah, right? I thought that would work out well. Reed, appreciate it. We will see you after the bye.
Yes, sir.
All right. Very good. This has been the Project Game Day postgame show brought to you by Par Excel. Appreciate you all being a part of it and hanging out with us tonight.